You can have Genesis chapter 28, and it's in your pew Bible, so it's the red Bibles at the end of your pews. Old Testament, page 25. Linda.
Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood behind him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I do not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Linda, thank you very much indeed. As we come to the word of God this morning, let's pray that God would strengthen us and equip us in our faith as we turn to the words of Scripture today. Let's pray. Father, you know our hearts and minds this morning. You know the things that distress us, the things that we're anxious or worried about, the things that we find joyful, the things that we want to celebrate today. We now bring all these things before you and pray that we would open our hearts and minds to you. And we pray that by the same Spirit that inspired these ancient words, that you would come amongst your people. You would show us your ways, and you would help us to live for you in this world. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning, we're thinking a little bit about this man called Jacob. Now, Jacob has had a hard time. But most of it, of course, was of his own making. If you've ever read through the book of Genesis, sometimes it's really dark and really, really hard in places. Jacob certainly lived up to his name, which means deceiver. If you're ever going to name a child, possibly calling him deceiver is not really the best thing to do. He had tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright. He had also tricked Esau out of his father's blessing by pretending to be his brother before his blind father Isaac. To be honest with you, Jacob was a self-serving schemer and conniver. And not surprisingly, his brother Esau had quite enough of his brother. And with murderous intent in his heart, he pursued his brother out into the desert. Now, Jacob's family was hopelessly divided. Rebekah favored her son Jacob and even helped him to deceive his brother. But Isaac, the father, always favored Esau, who had married foreign wives much to his father's displeasure. And it's not long before Jacob is told, leave. Leave your family, go out, escape your brother's fury. Go and find a wife from your own people, not the pagan tribes around you. So Jacob finds himself alone in the wilderness. He is without friend or support, without protection or guidance. And maybe he's left alone with his feelings and thoughts. Will I find a wife? What will she be like? Why is my family so dysfunctional? Who can possibly believe those far-fetched promises that God is supposed to have made to my family? Why can't I help my heart? Why am I such a selfish and devious character? And there in the middle of nowhere, he's exhausted. It's night time and he needs to go to rest. He finds a stone for a pillow and he rather uncomfortably goes off to sleep. And the vision that night, of course, is now famous to us. He sees some sort of ladder or stairway between heaven and earth. He sees angels, the messengers of God, going up and down between heaven and earth. And then God himself speaks to Jacob. And you know, this story is just grace upon grace. Jacob comes across as a thoroughly unpleasant and self-serving person. And yet God comes to him in the most extraordinary way with a promise of blessing and hope when he needed it most. And God is like that. He gives us what we don't deserve. It is grace upon grace in the Christian life. There is no rebuke from God, no reproach, just an astonishing message of blessing that encompasses the whole world. And Jacob is amazed to find God in a place where he thought he was all alone. God comes very close and is now very personal to him. Heaven is now very near. And God repeats the promises first made to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. If you have your Bibles open, it's in verse 13. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And then he even talks about your descendants, verse 14. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Isn't that an extraordinary blessing to this man, Jacob? And he gives him a message of assurance and protection and guidance. 15, know that I am with you and will bring you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. You see, Jacob might be a trickster. He might be a deceiver. He might be thoroughly unscrupulous. But God is not like that. God treats us with wonderful grace and mercy and love. And that is the God we're worshiping today. And this vision in the wilderness utterly transforms Jacob's life. It's the beginning of a life of faith. He has now seen and encountered God for himself. Jacob can say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And you know, sometimes we need our eyes opened to what is the reality around us. Sometimes we're looking so far down, we don't really see what's actually there. Do you remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's an extraordinary story of Elisha and his servant. Let me just read you a few verses from 2 Kings chapter 6. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Don't we sometimes need to know that? That those who are for us are more than those who are against us? That if God's presence is with us, it's all we need. And so too Jacob needs to see God's astonishing grace and provision at work in the world. A very ordinary place becomes extraordinary. Before his eyes, Jacob sees heaven touching earth and angels going up and down in the command of God. Now this morning, we are continuing a series of sermons and talks thinking about frontline Sundays. And we're trying to think about where do we spend most of our time. Where is that touching point, if you like, between heaven and earth for us? Do you remember a few weeks ago, Gareth introduced to us the idea of these dots? According to the most recent surveys, only about 6 people in every 100 go to church at least once a month. 6 red dots. That's all in terms of Christianity in this country today. 6 people out of 100 will go to church once a month. If all those red dots stick together in a holy huddle, they will not have much of an impact. But if those red dots are out in society, in the world around us, living a holy life, trying to share something of God's love with them, they will make a real impact. And it may even be that some of those other grey dots around them will turn red. And that is how the gospel goes out. That's how the church grows. Maybe we need to have our eyes open to see where heaven can touch earth in our lives. Because the Bible knows nothing between a secular and a holy world. All things are holy if we want them to be like God. All places are holy if we bring God into that place. It's not only in church buildings we can pray and worship and honor God. We can do that everywhere. And let's just for a few moments think about some of those places in our lives where God can come down to us and where heaven and earth can join. Taking a stand for the Christian faith in school can be very difficult. But just imagine God using us as we study, perhaps with our friends, maybe saying how as a Christian we feel about what is being taught. Maybe we'll take a stand for being honest and telling the truth. Maybe we'll show ourselves to be a reliable and true friend to someone who really needs us. Maybe we are prepared to answer a question about why on earth we could still be a Christian in the modern world. For some of us, being in school or college could be that place where God reaches between heaven and earth. Maybe our touching place will be where we work, in an office, meeting clients, working with colleagues, wherever that might be. Maybe there's somebody there going through a really tough time. And we can make time for them. We can show compassion, take an interest in their lives, and simply be a listening ear. As people talk about money issues, children causing them real heartache, real health issues. And maybe at some point, there'll be an opportunity there for us to share our faith and why we have hope in Christ. We all have neighbors of some sort. Could over that fence be a place where heaven and earth meet? Could that be a place where our conversation turns to matters of eternity, of life and death, of what the world's really all about? Maybe we need to turn those chance meetings into deeper, proper friendships, holding out the hand of love and fellowship. Maybe we can serve God with acts of kindness, of going the extra mile, making a huge difference to people's lives. So often it's in those practical acts of kindness that open the door to us sharing our Christian faith. As we collect a prescription, get somebody groceries, giving a lift, or lending some tools even, who knows what it might be that will open the door to us sharing our faith. Anyone go to a Keep Fit class? One, two, three, four, five. Okay, a few. Well, we all have hobbies and interests, don't we? And very naturally over hobbies and interests, we share our lives, our opinions with those around us, whether it's in an art class, a choir, Keep Fit class, book club, discussion group, whatever it might be. And perhaps we have to look for those opportunities to share the gospel with our friends. Not in a really awkward, difficult way, but it's a natural part of conversation. And in nearly every conversation, there's a hinge point. And will we ask that question that might lead us a little bit deeper into something a little bit more profound? If somebody asks you, what did you do at the weekend? At that point, you have a choice. You can say whatever you had for dinner. You can say what you had on TV. You can say who you spoke to. Or you could be bold and say, well, I went to church and we did this. In pretty much every conversation, there's a hinge question. And I remember when I was working in a bank in the city before I was ordained, and pretty much every Monday there'd be that question, so did you have a good weekend? And at that point, you have an opportunity. You have a chance to say something, or will you let it slip to the next time? Sometimes we need to be bold, take the plunge, and ask for God's help. Now, this is quite a fun picture. Anyone recognize who that is? It's Dora. A few weeks ago, we were thinking about the role of parents and grandparents, hugely important in our society. Here's Dora having a bit of spot of face painting, I think, done. Well, I hope it's face painting. Can we pray into these precious lives? Can we buy perhaps good presents for birthdays and Christmas? Can we retell Bible stories that begin to weave them into a young person's life? Can we be an attractive role model for Christianity just where we are, just as we are? The role of godly parents and grandparents. Where could be the place that God wants to use us? There's a nice young man at a bar. Anyone recognize what that is? You do recognize? That's me, yes, it is me. So that's at the New Inn. Now, Jacob discovered extraordinary things can sometimes happen in the most ordinary of places, where we least expect it. Are we willing to see God opening doors for us? In the past, 10.5 years since I've been in Lechlade, often we go for a reception or something like that after a funeral. And probably in the New Inn, I've had the most profound conversations I've ever had with people in this place. Sometimes when people come to that situation of life, it gives the opportunity to talk about the really deep and profound matters of life. Why was that person taken away so young? What is the purpose of life and death? Do you really believe there's something after this life? I was reading a short interview recently, I think, in the Times newspaper, and simply the question was to the person being interviewed, what happens when you die? And they simply replied, compost. Is that it? Is that all human life is worth? Sometimes there'll be a point between heaven and earth when God will use us to speak words of truth, words of life and of hope, into a person's situation. Where might it be? Perhaps you visit the cafes and eateries around Lechlade. Here's some other young people deciding possibly to go into Linwood or not. We're sharing stories. We're sharing lives. We're sharing faith. People have been asking questions during a tough, difficult few years because of COVID and lockdown. Is there anyone actually in charge of this world and what happens? Why are such awful things allowed to happen? Can there be any meaning or purpose in this world and in my life? You see, as we share food and drink, as we have fellowship with people, there comes a real bond between people, and perhaps God will use that as a bridge to have a conversation about real important things. We need discernment, we need wisdom of when to push a bit and when to back off. Do you remember when Gareth did this map of Lechlade and the red dots? The different places where God can use us all over Lechlade. I think there's some other spare dots around the place if you'd like to put either your place or the different places you go onto that map. And I suppose as we look at that map, we just think, can God really do extraordinary things where I live? Yes, he can. You may not have a vision of a ladder going up to heaven, but we must believe that God can bring blessing and grace to the lives of people we meet around us. It doesn't just happen in church. There's some ladies chatting on a street. It doesn't look posed at all, does it? And we all do it. We chat around the streets, getting a paper, popping to Londis for something, walking the dog, meeting somebody in town. Could that chat on a street corner be the turning point in someone's life? Could that conversation be a place where people's eyes are opened to the spiritual realities all around them? Maybe in God's grace, you will be the link in the chain that will bring somebody to faith in Christ. Wouldn't that be an extraordinary privilege and blessing? Maybe when it comes round to September, we will take the opportunity to invite people to one of our Seeds of Faith mission events, perhaps something happening in the church or around the town. Who will God put across your path in the coming week? Will we make the most of these so-called chance encounters? Who will you meet on the street this week? Where will be your front line? As we finish, let's have a quick look at this postcard. Did you get a postcard as you came in? Hopefully you got a little sort of blue postcard. It says, presence, pressure, purpose. If you don't have one, you can put your hand up, and I'm sure the sidesman will rush around and give you one. Everyone got one? Yep, lovely. So let's look on the back of it. It says, align your front line. Where would you consider to be your front line? Don't have to tell me now. Perhaps you want to fill this in by yourself later on. Perhaps you want to fill it in with a friend or perhaps in a small group later. Would your front line be looking after children? Grandchildren? Would your front line be the place where you work? Would it be a school? Would it be a club or something you go to? Then the first box, presence. How do you experience God's presence with you there? Do you ever get a sense that God is with you in that place? Pressure. Is there a pressure point for you in that place? Would there be a temptation? Would there be something you want to run away from? Would there be something which is difficult for you there, something painful there? Purpose. What might be God's purpose for you in that place, right there and now? Think of the places where you will be and your front line. And hopefully today has got us thinking. What has this story of Jacob's ladder got anything to say to us? Where do we want to see God's grace in action? Can we see God's blessing in the unexpected and in the ordinary? And I'm going to pray now. Perhaps you want to have that postcard in front of you. Let's think about the places that we will find ourselves in this coming week, our front line, and how we want God to use us. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that in the ordinary, normal parts of life, you can do extraordinary and gracious things. Thank you for the people we know. Thank you for the uniqueness of our life. Lord, would you please help us to be bold and to live for you? Help us to look for those hinged questions, to look for those opportunities to share something of the good news of God through our words and through our deeds. God, please use us for your purposes and for your kingdom. May we be channels of your grace, channels of your blessing, all over Lechlade, Fairford, Highworth, Farringdon, the different places we find ourselves in. Lord, be gracious and use us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.